Hello everyone, and welcome to Witch Story the Podcast, where Steph and myself, Kayla, will be hosting weekly episodes on historic witch trials that we have researched. We want to bring light to the real history of witch persecutions, as the life of a witch is not always as glamorous as can be portrayed in media. Witch hunts were often quite gruesome and horrific, and some are still taking place today. So stay tuned as we bring you all things witchy with our first episode on Florence Newton. So today's story takes us to the south of Ireland in a town on the water by the name of Youghal. Youghal spelt Y-O-U-G-H-A-L.
Don't laugh.
I actually had to call up my Irish friend for the pronunciation of it because of the G-H in Youghal. I was very tempted to say, we're going to look at a case from Youghal today.
Yeah, well, like, because in Irish I've also seen the spelling of Owen, which is like E-O-G-H-A-N, and they say it like Owen, so then when I see that word, maybe it's Youghal.
She very Youghal. Specifically told me it's Youghal. How you say hi in Texan. I'm like, okay, makes Youghal. Sense. Y'all.
Yeah, so shout out to Annette for that pronunciation. Couldn't have done it without her. I actually tried to YouTube it at first. And it wouldn't say, but it looked like a very picturesque town from the tourist videos. It's right on the ocean side. Apparently, people drive through it all the time for like a little getaway from the major cities. Has all these old buildings still. Very lovely today. Anyways, our story is based on the infamous Witch of Youghal, otherwise known as Florence Newton, one of Ireland's most well-known witches, even though there are quite a lot from Ireland. Newton was arrested and put into Youghal prison on March 24th, 1661, to be tried for witchcraft, and we're going to tell you why. Newton's story began at the house of John Pine on Christmas of the previous year. Newton was an older woman who had come to beg at John Pine's home. When his maid, Mary Langdon, opened the door, Florence had asked for a piece of beef or bread out of the powdering tub, which she was denied. This gives us the impression that Florence was a poor old woman who had nobody close to her to spend Christmas Eve with, a rather unfortunate beginning to our story. A few days later, however, Florence saw the maid once again on the street holding a pail on her head, most likely to take some clothes to be washed. Florence Newton had thrown the pail off the maid's head and then violently kissed her, saying, "Mary, I pray thee, let thee and I be friends, for I bear thee no ill will, and I pray thee, do thou bear me none."
Holy tongue twister. So basically Florence was saying, like, no hard feelings, let's be friends, we're cool, but also let me violently kiss you.
Mm-hmm. And when she says violently, I don't think they, like, I think that's just an exaggeration of what this woman was accusing her of, for sure. And when they say like violently kiss, it doesn't mean like on the lips. It probably means like on the cheek or something too.
Yeah, I don't think it was on the lips, but every single source used the word violently, which was very curious. But
yeah,
only to make
the witness or source more,
I know what word you're
convincing,
looking for. Like a victim.
Following this encounter, Mary Langdon had become terribly ill. She was tormented by visions of spirits, including the spirit of Florence Newton herself, at the edge of her bed, which is what led her to believe that it was Florence's doing that she had become this way. Mary also fell into trances, acts of violence, and began to vomit very strange and very painful items, such as nails, wool, needles, pins, and straw. Sometimes her bursts of violence, too, were so strong that several men could not hold her down. Another odd side effect was that she claimed that pebbles would constantly be falling on her head. John Pine, the man that Mary worked for, even attested to Mary's claim that these small rocks would be falling on her head everywhere she went. But when these rocks were collected for evidence, they would disappear without a trace. The way these rocks or pebbles were collected was curious to note. Some rocks would apparently have small holes in them, so they would string the rocks together on a leather strap and then tie a knot after with the leather, kind of like a necklace made of these pebbles. But seconds later, the rocks themselves would disappear, even though the knot in the leather went untouched.
Interesting.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting because the holes with rocks, as we now know as adder stones, because they have the holes from erosion, they were once called hag stones. Or witch's stones.
Yes.
The holes. And if the story was fabricated, which it most likely was, that's a spicy, believable detail.
Exactly. And if those were the stones that were falling on them and were collected and they had holes in them, then that shouldn't be a bad omen. That should actually be a good one because of what hag stones were. Hag stones were supposed to ward off witchcraft and bad omens. And then when you also looked through the hole, you were supposed to be able to see into the fairy world. So
that
is the story of hag stones. So I find it odd that they thought that that would help when the belief was those were a keystone into the fairy world. So
that's so interesting. I love that.
On that note, though, we're going to take a quick break to listen to a message from our sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by Realcom. Realcom is a community-based app for identifying triggers in movies. The user can either search a movie title to make sure that the film that you're about to watch does not contain any triggers, or at the same time, you can add triggers so others will know not to watch and be reminded of past traumas. I think it's a brilliant app because when my partner and I watch movies, sometimes there are scenes that I'm uncomfortable watching and we end up turning the TV off. So it would be nice to know this ahead of time so we can avoid it altogether. The best part is it's absolutely free to download in the Apple Store. Just type in Realcom, R-E-E-L-C-A-L-M to download today. Thanks, Realcom. Now let's get back to our podcast.
Okay. So during this time, Florence Newton was held in a prison cell because she was accused of being a witch and putting some horrendous spell onto Mary Langdon. And in the prison cell, there was shaking and loud, unexplainable noises and motion. And when asked what these noises were, Florence admitted that the sounds came from her familiar, a large greyhound. No big deal. I'm a witch. It's just my large, invisible demon dog.
Yep. No problem there.
But also, I wonder how much torture she was put through to say that, you know?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Because I don't think she would have just said, yeah, that's just my greyhound.
Although that would be a pretty cool dog to have. She also revealed that there were others in the town who had possessed the same witchy abilities as her, including Goody Halfpenny and Goody Todd. Goody is just a word for good wife, or as we know today as Mrs. And this has shocked the town and the mayor, who immediately wanted to figure out who these witches were. So they said that they were going to use the water dunking method on these women to make known who indeed was the one responsible for Mary Langdon's curse. But I guess Florence had a change of heart, and this is when she confessed that it was only her, not the other goodies, and that she had done wrong to Mary Langdon and wanted God's forgiveness.
So I feel like she kind of involved those two to maybe make herself sound a little more innocent.
She could have also been like, I'm not going down alone. I'm taking everyone down with me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what happened to the other two women. Hopefully they were just let off the hook.
When she would confess, she could have said that she was like tricked by Satan himself, and then they would have probably had a bit more mercy for her. But I don't think it happened that way. It does say that she wants God's forgiveness.
Okay, so this is the interesting part. The mayor was like, sure, ask for forgiveness, say the Lord's Prayer, which is a gesture that a lot of trials make the supposed witch say, the famous prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. When reciting the Lord's Prayer, she could not say the words, forgive us our trespasses. She either said she forgot the words or just couldn't say them. Just very odd, right?
Yeah.
Especially for a woman in such a religious country where prayer is pretty much ingrained into you as a child. Yeah, but remember this for later because it's actually an important part of the story.
Okay.
So the mayor, Richard Myers, and the townspeople wanted answers, so they conducted their own test to see if Newton was a witch. The bailiff, Edward Perry, a man, perhaps a surgeon named Mr. Blackwall, Mr. Greatrix, which is probably the descendant of a great healer named Mr. Greatrax, and several other witnesses try to lance an awl into Newton's stool while she sat on it. And they tried several times, but the awl kept breaking without even denting the stool. And they once again tried to take another awl just straight into her hand, but it bent without even causing a drop of blood to fall from her skin. And so finally they were like, you know who might help us? Mary Langdon. And she originally opposed to being in the same room as Florence because of those extreme fits she would get in her presence. But anyways, they made Mary hold the awl, and they managed to lance Florence's other hand. And once the awl went through her hand, it resulted in the simultaneous bleeding of both hands.
Good Lord.
Which is wild. And they had so many witnesses too. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. That, I'm trying to like imagine some freak circumstance of like how that could have happened. Exactly. I'm trying to logically work this out. So like, I don't think it bent. I bet you it probably just like hit her hand a little bit and the blood didn't break through yet.
Yeah.
And then when the other one hit, maybe it broke through then.
I know when you pierce your ears, so let's say you're doing two piercings at the same time. I know the first one doesn't hurt, but when you get the second one, because all your blood is going there, it will hurt more.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And maybe, I think it also has a lot to do with the circulation of a person. So I remember when I got my nose pierced, this is a little bit off topic, but it will make sense, I swear. So when I got my nose pierced, it like right afterwards, it didn't bleed, but a minute or two after I got it pierced, it started bleeding so much that it got all over my shirt. Like there was a lot of blood.
Yeah.
And it just, it didn't make any sense to me. And now that I've seen an actual naturopath who explained to me that my circulation is actually very poor and my blood doesn't circulate up to my brain as much as it should. So that means I don't have a lot of blood in my head as other people do, which makes me forgetful. But that also means that's probably why it stalled in bleeding, in my opinion. So maybe it also has something to do with her circulation.
Yeah. And also I'm guessing she was quite old too. So that.
Yes, exactly. Adds
to the circulation. You're probably
exactly.
right.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Logical point.
So when this happened, the people of Cork were already, County Cork, where y'all's in, people of County Cork were already in fear that a coven of witches lived among them. So this gave them exactly the evidence they needed to assure them that Florence was definitely a witch.
In the end, Florence Newton was accused of two counts of witchcraft. Why two, you may ask? Well, following the incident of Florence not being able to say the Lord's Prayer, her prison guard, a man by the name of David Jones, died, and the reason for his death was that he tried to teach Florence the words to the prayer as a good gesture, and she thanked him profusely by kissing his hand through the jail bars. Following this kiss, his whole arm struck him with pain, and he was complaining about it to his wife. Then, 2 weeks later, he died. She said that he was a young, healthy man, and she had no reason that she would believe that he could have died if it wasn't for Florence. And his wife also said that the last word that David Jones said before he died was Newton.
So once again, she kissed someone, put her evil witchy spell on them, and they died, and she was accused.
That is so interesting, because both times she's just been so thankful. And she kisses them, and then they somehow die of mysterious causes.
And apparently he was a total healthy young man. I don't know exactly why he actually died. I think some sources say that it might have been a stroke, like a heart attack. But he was young and healthy, so they didn't understand why it happened. But I don't know, maybe his wife just poisoned him too and was just like, there's already a witch, we can blame her for this too.
Wait a second. Which arm was it? Was it the right or the left?
Maybe the left arm. I'm not sure.
Okay. Because if it was the left arm and his arm was in pain, that is a sure sign of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Usually people who are about to have a heart attack have pain in their left arm for a long time before, or maybe a short time before. Sometimes they don't know.
I might try to look back in the books and see if it was the left arm, and I'll insert here if it was the left or the right arm.
Hey everyone, this is Kayla from the future. So I went back through my sources and none of them actually specified whether it was David Jones's right or left arm that was injured. Back to the story.
Yeah, even so, like, there's other things that could cause pain in the arm, like
infection
or costochondritis, which is, it's like, basically it's when an internal organ is infected and it swells up, and it actually makes the tissue around your chest bones and in your arms swell, and it makes it very painful. And it's actually a very common thing to have. And way back when there were loads of like infections that had to do with, I don't know, bowels, kidneys, and all those other organs, when they were obsessed with humors, that I feel like this could have happened very often.
Yeah.
And then it goes undiagnosed, because if someone's feeling pain in their arm, they think the sickness is in their arm, when really it could have been somewhere else.
Yeah. They wouldn't have known back then.
Yeah, exactly.
So unfortunately, evidence of her sentencing is lost due to missing papers from the trial, but it's most likely the verdict chosen would have been a death sentence, as the town would have followed section 1 of the English Elizabethan statute, which outlawed witchcraft, from 1586. And unlike hangings in America, she was probably burned at the stake.
In 1597, King James VI, or the First, whichever you would like to call him, wrote a book called Demonology. He was obsessed with the hunting of witches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like because of his reign, all of this was brought back. So because he encouraged it so much, he wanted these witch hunts to happen. So even though the Elizabethan statute said that a person was to be arrested for witchcraft was now outlawed or wasn't so, I think that was taken away when King James came into power.
Mm-hmm. He definitely instilled fear and the love of witch hunting.
Yeah, 100%. Because, yeah, at this time, Ireland was under the power of Britain.
And I have here that he used the dunking method because it went back to classical times, and he loved that.
He did.
Pliny the Elder in Natural History. What year was that? 70? Year 70? He said that witches will never sink or drown in the water. So he saw that and was just like, oh, perfect, I'm gonna use that.
Well, yeah, in King James's book, it says that water is the purest substance of God, and that water repels the guilty. So if you're innocent, you would sink because the water would take you because it's so pure. But since water repels the guilty and you're a witch, then you float. But yeah, my question is, like, what tool was used when she was dunked? Because I know that there were various tools that were made. A cucking stool. I've actually seen one when I went to Canterbury. It was still there, and it's very eerie to see. But it was like this stool or chair that's attached to a lever that it's very slowly like lowered. And they would do this while asking the woman questions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very scary indeed.
So, a lot of interrogation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a rope and a crank, and it just keeps lowering down slowly, right?
Yeah. Crazy, crazy times.
Crazy indeed. Well, that wraps up our episode on Florence Newton. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Witch Story Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe to us for more witch trials and stories, as we will release a new episode every week. If you want to reach out to us in the meantime, you can email us at witchstorypodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at at Witch Story Podcast. An additional source on Florence Newton's trial, you can read one that we have found very helpful to our research, and it is James F. Fuller's article, Trial of Florence Newton for Witchcraft in Cork, 1661, published in the Journal of the Cork Historical Society and Archaeological Society, pages 174 to 183. And this was published as a digital file online in 2013, readily available to the public on the Historical Society's website. Thanks again, and we hope you tune in again next week.